Welcome to Ray and Faye Day. It's Monday.
Hey, hey, it is Monday, and this is Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
Yeah, man, this is Tay, Eric Taylor, feeling good on a Monday. We got some crazy sports stuff to talk about, in every sport almost. So, listen, you want to join in on the ride with us, give us a call at 718-664-9098. You can hit us up on the email, that's RAEANDTAY today at gmail.com. And definitely follow us on Twitter, man. Like I said, we always give sports updates throughout the week, the evening, the weekend, you know, whenever we can, of breaking news. And that's Ray and Tay today on Twitter as well as on Facebook. And just a big thanks, and, you know, we really appreciate it, man. And, you know, Ray, will let you know what we're rocking with today, man.
Yeah, so like Tay said, we got an action-packed show today. We got some breaking news in the world of basketball. We got some stuff going on in college football, in NASCAR. We'll go through that for you. We'll have a preview of this Monday night game. Hopefully it's not a Monday night massacre. KC
looks
at
like
Pittsburgh.
It might be snowing, too.
Yeah, well, anything that slows down Pittsburgh is good for Kansas City. We've got the NFL Week 10 review. We're going to go through a few games there that were really popped out as being some great games. We got our usual segment of the weekend, Champs and Chumps, where we identify the best and the worst of the weekend. And then we're going to finish up with the BCS. We're going to talk about that BCS top 10 with the big Alabama loss and what that means for college football and the bowl games and the BCS championship.
And don't forget my 4-0 Knicks, man. We'll have to get a little Knicks and some B-ball in there, too.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll get some NBA right at the end. We'll get some NBA talk. Start to take
a
look around the league.
Well, let's jump into it, man. Why don't you tell them the big story of the day that most people should know unless they were at work and missed it.
Yeah, it was at the crack of dawn. So Mike D'Antoni is the new coach of your Los Angeles Lakers. So –
and the crowd goes, boo.
Apparently, they contacted Phil. And
well, not just contacted him. They were on the verge of a deal.
About to sign a contract with Phil. That's Phil Jackson. That's the 11-time champion, Phil Jackson. And 5-time champion with the Los Angeles Lakers, Phil Jackson. So Let's just throw it out there. I mean, we got some other news, but you know, this is so hot. We need to talk about it. What do you think about that? What's your opinion on that?
Wow, right? I guess it's just wow. I think LA is a mess right now. I don't know really if Dr. Buss knows that his son Jim Buss is really going to drive the ship the right way. I think he made a mistake with Mike Brown. Should have probably went with Brian Shaw then. I think he just hates Phil so much he wanted to get rid of – they said he even got rid of the video guys. I mean, he got rid of everything, cleaned house from Phil. So I think his ego messed up in not bringing Phil back. They're trying to say the L.A. official release is that with this roster, they feel that D'Antoni is a better coach for this roster. And it's so easy to say that in the sense is their cover-up. And maybe Phil had, you know, wanted $10 million, maybe he wanted. But the reality is they were going to talk about that this morning. He didn't even have any financial demands before this morning. So it's kind of, to me, it's one of those situations where I'm just like, I'm kind of baffled. I think Steve Nash with D'Antoni was great, but this was like 5-6 years ago. He's 38 going on 39. I don't know, you know, Kobe's 34. Pau Gasol's 32. I don't know if this is really a running team. And with D'Antoni's system, you need shooters. They got Jody Meeks. That's it. So to
Jody
me,
Meeks
I think they've got bigger problems.
That's my boy from Kentucky.
No, I like Jody. You know what I'm saying? But they've got bigger problems than you know, trying to say like, oh, well, with Phil, it might be too hard for the rest of the guys to learn the triangle compared to D'Antoni's system with sort of run and gun and yada, yada. I don't know, man. To me, D'Antoni doesn't.
here's my two cents.
Now, let me just say this, though. D'Antoni does not favor Dwight Howard in a post-up game and do good with it. You know, he likes the high screen and roll. And I just don't know defensively, you know, if he'll get it done.
So here's my two cents on the thing. Because it happened 5 games into the season, it eliminates anybody that's currently coaching. So the Lakers shot themselves in the foot by doing this 5 games into the season, because no GM or owner in his right mind is going to give you access to a coach that's currently on a team in the middle of the season. So Brian Shaw and anybody else who has a job, whether it's a head coach or an assistant coach, obviously no head coach, but assistant coaches. So really the list shrank.
But you still had Nate McMillan, Dunleavy,
right.
You still had
exactly.
Other options.
So that's what I'm saying. So the list shrank to about 5 guys that, you know, it was Nate McMillan and Jerry Sloan and Mike Dunleavy and Phil Jackson and D'Antoni. So you needed a veteran guy because it's a veteran team and you're really playing for the next year or two. I don't necessarily mind not going with Phil Jackson because they didn't talk contract, but you know the guy that was going to want 10, 11, 12 million, whatever it is. Let's
yeah,
say money's
million,
not an issue.
And they're giving D'Antoni 4 for 3 years.
Exactly.
Chump
so
change.
So,
yeah.
But let's just say money's not an issue. Phil's got other issues now with his back, and he was going to talk about, oh, restrictions on traveling, and I won't travel with the teams on back-to-backs and this and that. You know, so Phil comes with a little bit of baggage. But to his defense, Phil is probably the only one that could handle these egos and these stars because D'Antoni, you're absolutely
perfect.
Right. D'Antoni is a shooting person and a point guard's, you know, he's their dream, right? So Jeremy Lin is where he is because of Mike D'Antoni's system. And so Mike D'Antoni is great for Steve Nash. He's great for shooters. But here's the problem. Steve Nash is breaking down, and he's at the end of his career, and they have no shooters, like you said. They have no wing players. So you need a guy that can get the most out of Gasol and Dwight Howard down low. So really, there's no defense on this team to begin with. You have 4 guys that play defense. So you've got, you know, Meta, you've got Kobe, you've got Dwight Howard, and basically that's it. And Pau Gasol maybe can rebound a little bit, but that's all. Oh, that's it. That's really the roster of people that can play. Oh, and Dwight Howard. Sorry. So you got Dwight Howard, Meta World.
Well, Dwight Howard and Meta. Those are the two best defenders. Let's be honest.
Well, Kobe plays D when he wants to. Unfortunately, he exerts so much energy on the offensive end that he can't play D. You know, for more than stretches.
Right, but he's
time.
Not a defensive player he used to be.
No, but at least at one point in the career, he has a defensive mindset. Steve Nash, at no point in his career, was a defensive-minded coach, player. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
So you bring in Mike Brown, who was a defensive coach, and then you swing right back to an offensive coach. So you got a defensive coach running the Princeton system. Now you've got an offensive coach in D'Antoni. You know, it's like the yo-yo thing. I think this season is shot. I think ultimately they're not going anywhere. They'll go to the playoffs just because they have a lot of talent, but I think to get over the edge, they won't do it with this team. They'll have to eventually. I think D'Antoni doesn't play out the term of his contract. I think he'll get, unfortunately, I don't think he'll make it through the term of his contract, and they'll have to get another coach in there.
Well, listen, we'll all be watching tomorrow night when they play the Spurs. Let's keep it moving. Obviously, NASCAR out here. Phoenix, you had the brawl. You know, you got Jeff Gordon and Clint Boyer's crew
going at
it, scrapping. Brad Keselowski, he's in first place. 20 points away, 20 points up, and 15th place or better, and he wins. So basically, he'd almost have to crash.
You don't mess up.
Jimmy Johnson crashed and had some issues with his tire and came in 32nd place. So it's pretty much a wrap. We'll see what else could happen. You never know in NASCAR, right? There could be some crash, and Keselowski doesn't, you know, whatever. But he was pissed because everybody was talking about him being a risky or violent, you know, crazy driver. And he's like, look, Jeff Gordon and this guy Clint are freaking clowns. He was cursing on ESPN.
Well, he had
ESPN
that beef with Carl Edwards a couple years ago, and they
almost went
at it a couple times. And he does have a reputation.
Oh, yeah. These guys, man, it's funny. So we'll see, next week, you know, who holds it down and wins. Now, listen, football, we've got some crazy injuries. 3 of the quarterbacks yesterday were out, didn't finish the games with the concussions. So we'll see who, you know, if they play this week, from Alex Smith
to
Cutler to Mike Vick.
Yeah,
it's not good. Already Fred Jackson with a concussion has ruled out a Thursday night's game against Miami for the Buffalo Bills. And our boy on the Denver Broncos, Dumerville, with the bad shoulder, I think they're going to do the MRI, but he said he was in a lot of pain, so he might miss a week. It's interesting, man. So,
said that Andrew Bynum got pushed back. Now they're looking at mid-December for basketball-related activities.
They got a date. December 10th.
Well, that's just
10th,
for basketball-related activities. I mean, and you still got to practice. You still got to get in game shape. You still got to get ready to be on the court.
Do you give him the money? Do you give him the money? Do you sign him long-term?
You know, you ask your doctors first, and
mm-hmm.
then if the doctors clear him, he's such a rarity in this league. The offensive center and a guy who can rebound and a presence. But you know what? His mind, I don't know where his mind is, and if it's physical, if the doctors don't give him a clean bill of health, I can't even take a risk on him. So I buy time. It's a wait and see. I certainly wouldn't sign him until after the All-Star break. I got to see him for 15, 20 games. I can't give him the money now.
Okay. And then we're supposed to be hearing this evening, I don't know if it came out yet, NL and AL Rookie of the Year. Obviously, it's probably going to be Trout, and probably in the NL, Harper could be the pitcher from the Diamondbacks, but we'll see. It'll probably be Harper. But so the AL Awards will be coming up this week. The baseball, regular season awards
will be
coming out this week.
We'll bring those to you, of course.
Yeah, so that should be kind of interesting. So let's talk about my Steelers, man. Tonight's big game, Monday Night Football. Everybody's hyped up. Todd Haley, you got to believe he's chomping at the bit. Our offensive coordinator, who was fired as their head coach last year for the KC Chiefs, looks like there's some bad weather. The wind's supposed to pick up. Looks like rain, snow. It's going to be a mess in Pittsburgh. Probably will favor the Chiefs, right? You know, like the bad weather made it a close game last night, even though it probably would have been anyway. But I think Pittsburgh is going to win this game, man. I think Emmanuel Sanders steps in. You know, people make sure you have, I had to do it, bench Antonio Brown, and I picked up Sanders to play tonight. In our league, I need Heath Miller so I can come back on Stacy coast to coast. I need Heath Miller to get me like 35 points. So I'm looking for about 115 yards, two touchdowns, 130 yards, two touchdowns.
You could try.
Heath Miller,
Mike Wallace, or maybe Emmanuel Sanders will give you that.
Yeah, I really want them to win, man. I mean, we could get some fantasy points for me. But I think overall, I think Pittsburgh is too much. Now, you know, obviously they've got Tom Ali and some defensive studs on KC, but I just think the Big Ben – Redmond, Dwyer will be back tonight, so Redmond will get most of the carries. But our running game is looking really tough. We're playing
Steelers
football.
You got to take your hat off. You got to take your hat off to Todd Haley, man. He started off slowly, but that running game is rolling.
We've won three in a row.
His insistence on running the ball, the short passing game, running the ball, and not just letting Ben get beat up back there and go deep.
Yeah,
I like it.
And when
you're
doing so many deep patterns, he's getting rid of the ball a little bit quicker. I got the Steelers winning 23-10. They'll cover the spread.
I can't even argue with that. The only thing I'll say to KC's defense, and I thought they were, you know, they're going to finish last in the AFC West, and a lot of people said maybe, you know, they'd be a 500 or better team. I just don't like that team. Matt Castle, by the way, is starting, of course, because Brady Quinn, another concussion, another guy with a concussion. But the only way that the number one ranked Pittsburgh defense gets beaten is turnovers, obviously, but if they're looking ahead to the Ravens next Sunday, because that's a big showdown for Pittsburgh, right?
Especially, but you know what the coach said about
that?
He said, look, we've already lost to Oakland and Tennessee. We can't afford to look ahead, and we're looking forward to, you know, having a big game in front of our fans at home. So I don't think the Steelers, they're a veteran team. I think those days are past them, and I don't think they can afford to in the AFC where, you know, if the playoffs ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. But listen, the Colts are doing good. Teams are playing better. Steelers got to win. They got no choice.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I'm trying to give without saying that there's no chance to KC to win, right?
Basically,
I'm saying
right. The
weather, turnovers, and Pittsburgh looking ahead to next week. Those are the only ways I think KC even makes it close, let alone winning the game. But yeah, I look for Pittsburgh to win big. But we'll see. We'll still watch. We'll still watch. You know, it's Monday Night Football.
Oh, listen, it's Monday Night Football, and you know I'm already chomping at the bit. You know, don't get me started to see the freaking classless 55-20 Baltimore Ravens running up the score with the fake field goal on the Raiders. Next Sunday night, we are going to take it to Baltimore. Can't wait. So,
you're pulling a Bart Scott on us now.
Yo,
can't
listen, man,
wait.
You know, it's interesting. I see that the Tigers might be trying to scoop up Torrey Hunter since the Angels aren't going to pick him back up. So that's, oh, man, there's so much going on right now. This is an interesting time, right? You know, you got the baseball postseason awards and then the free agency stuff, and trades will start to, you know, chirp up. The heart of the football season, the beginning of basketball, beginning of college basketball, the end of college football. It's just busy, y'all. It's just busy. So listen, let's take a quick break, and then let's jump into the reviewing week 10 in the NFL.
10.
Ray and Tay.
To be honest, it wasn't a great week in terms of, look, every week in the NFL is great. But the matchups, there were a handful of really good matchups and really good games. But, you know, we're going to bring you the best of the best. And we got to start with the two best teams in the NFL, or at least by record. You throw Atlanta in there as well. But two of the top three teams by record. So you had Houston at 7-1 visiting Soldier Field, and the Bears at 7-1. So it was a little bit nasty out there in Chicago, some bad weather, and we had a 13-6 game. So you had that high-powered offense of the Houston Texans slowed down significantly by the Chicago Bears. Arian Foster really, I mean, he had 102 yards, but that was kind of a quiet 100-yard performance.
Most of it was the first half. He got his 11th touchdown of the season.
Half.
You know, I give him kudos. He got his 11th touchdown of the season. Foster's tough, man. But you know what's interesting about this game? Your man Danielle Manning, who the Bears did not want to sign a couple years ago, and he went to the Texans. He came back home to Chicago, and he showed his butt off. I am happy for that brother. Got a couple of picks, played great D. You know, I think it was hard. The Texans didn't have Owen Daniels. Cutler gets knocked out at the half. It was just a brutal, good old-fashioned football game with tough hitting and, you know, everybody just going after each other. Shop threw a couple of picks. Jennings and Tillman were doing their thing. So they went at it. It was hard to get a feel on the game in terms of, like, nobody really had any major momentum. I just think at the end of the day, both these teams could be slowed down or flawed in the sense that I don't know if either one has enough offensive firepower to win
really?
The Super Bowl.
Really? Even the Texans? When they're
yes,
healthy?
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm going to say why. I mean, obviously, you know, they missed Owen Daniels, but he's their number two target, and then you got, you know, with Johnson and then Foster. But not having a decent number two receiver, Kevin Walter and the young kid Martin and these guys, I don't think either of them are tough enough or good enough that I think if Houston had to go up against maybe the Steelers, the Giants, the Packers, you know, the
Patriots,
Niners, it would just be the Niners. It would just be like a defensive battle. But some of these teams that can put up, you know, even the Broncos, the Patriots, you know, 30 easy. I think the Texans might, when it comes down to it, they, you know, their defense will keep them alive. But I just don't know.
Don't you love their balance though? I mean, maybe that's
no.
Receiver
I do.
Is
I do.
Missing,
I just.
Arian
I got a funny feeling. I don't know if I 100% believe in Schaub. I don't believe you. You need more people. But, hey, it was a good game. And, you know, we'll see, you know, hey, they're 8-1. Let's see how it continues to play out. And they're definitely the class of the AFC right now. Now, looking at the second matchup we're going to talk about, how about them Cowboys?
How about them
Let me run down the list, right, because there's a bunch of guys out there starving and just so happy. LeMaine, Tony, my cousin Tom, my brother Jonas, Tal,
Kwame. Well, Madden, your boy, Tony, yeah.
Yeah, that's Tony Watson,
yeah.
Kwame. You know, the whole list, my boy Chappie. There is a ton of Cowboy fans I am surrounded by, and it disgusts me, but you all get your day. You all get your shout-out, your love. I know Quam Dog listens to the radio show, so maybe he's checking us out. Today, I give you props. Listen, it was the Suck Bowl, and you made sure and showed everybody that it's Philly that really sucks, and you guys have your talent. You should have beat the Giants. You should have beat the Ravens. But this time, you finally did it. And you got three cupcake games, potentially, at home. And you need to win all three. You need to stop playing down the talent. You need to win the games you're supposed to win. And the Cowboys need to go home, beat the Browns, Redskins, and then beat the Eagles again. No excuses. Play some ball and get on a roll. That's all I got to say. I don't need to talk about no stats. We all know what happened in the game. It just needs to be stop making the dumb mistakes and play ball. Play ball.
Look, I'm
go
a Cowboy
win
fan.
Win four in a row. Win four in a row. That's all you got to do.
I can't negate anything you said. The only thing I can say is that eventually that chain of command something has to change between Jerry Jones, who's not going to go anywhere, Jason Garrett, and Tony Romo, because they shoot themselves in the foot, and you got to look at the leadership. So right now, I'm a happy Cowboy fan. I'll take my 4-6 record and say, you know what, the Giants just lost. We'll get into that a little bit. Two games behind them, beat them head-to-head. So it's not the worst position to be in, right? Or split with the Giants. It's not the worst position to be in because, you know, the Cowboys – but here's the problem. The Cowboys are going to have a little bit of hope, and everybody's going to get back on the bandwagon. Let's say they win 2 in a row and they go 6-6. It's like, oh, the Cowboys are back. They won 3 in a row. But, you know, ultimately I think the Cowboys dug themselves too deep a hole, and I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think it'll be very, very difficult. They'd have to go 9-7 and hope that the playoff, you know, gods are in their favor. But for 1 week, it was nice to deliver, and then, you know, contributions on offense, contributions on defense, contributions on special teams. So I'll take it. By the way, got to break in here with the breaking news. Angels center fielder Mike Trout is the unanimous AL Rookie of the Year. So just wanted to let everybody know there. Yeah, yeah. How could you not? I mean, the guy was a hair away from being MVP. So, you know.
And we don't know how that vote is going to turn out.
Probably win that. We don't know. But yeah, yeah, this kid Trout was pretty phenomenal. So, you know, if the other one gets announced, we'll tell you, you know, we'll bring you the breaking news. But right now we got you.
Well, it should be Bryce Harper at the end of the day. But you know what's interesting? They were talking about. And this is something maybe we can do on our show 1 week, but I'll just mention it real quick before we get to the Saint game. They were saying he might have had the best rookie year in all sports, you know, comparing it to Jordan, Dickerson, you know, Chamberlain. And it's interesting, you know, Gretzky. So we'll talk about it one day, but definitely Trout had a great year, you know. But let's look at how about them Saints, man? We both, you know, thought the Saints would win. And I will say this, I definitely think this is a different Falcons team because they surely didn't fold. They were in it. They played a great game, great ball, but I think this is what I like about the Saints. Chris Ivory, man, and Vitt coming back, they're tougher. The defense is playing tougher. They're running the ball, and that's what you got to do. You know, they got their offensive line coach back. You know, he's just focused on that now. And I think not that it's a good thing that Sproles got hurt, but if he can come back and help them for the playoff push, I think they'll be a better team for it because you know what? They've got to just pound the ball and run. So not everybody's just, you know, up on these receivers and just double teaming them. You know, now the safeties have got to pay attention to the running game. And Chris Ivory was
him
slapping cats.
But here's the thing. The other thing the running game does, which people don't understand, everybody loves to pass and it's a passing league, and 4,000 yards, and what, three guys at 5,000 yards.
That play action, baby.
Not only does the running game give you play action, the running game takes a possession or two off the board, and it lets your defense rest, and it lets your defense gather themselves, and it's harder to play D than it is to play offense in the sense of stamina, because you're always reacting to the offense, and you're always reacting to the substitutions. But people forget that, and forget about inclement weather and the playoffs, unless you're, you know, unless you're indoors, but in December and January, running the ball is good. Everybody out there, offensive coordinators out there, running the ball is good. Don't forget about the run. It makes for balance. It makes, it helps your offense and your defense. And you know what? It inspires confidence, because those big, fat offensive linemen, I mean, in a good way, like those big boys, when you hit somebody in the mouth, and even if you get 3, 4, 5, 6 yards running the ball, that actually builds up more confidence than, you know, pass protecting for a 50-yard bomb. Right?
And not just that, for the offensive line, they get to be aggressive, right? You're sort of passive when you're waiting for a rusher to come at you, and you're reacting to the pass rusher. When you're running the ball, you're putting the punishment on the defensive lineman and wearing them out and getting them tired for the fourth quarter. And that's what always used to push the Steelers over the top of teams, because they just keep running and pounding on guys with Bettis and, you know, would wear teams out in the fourth quarter. And that's what you need, man. And I think, honestly, that could wind up hurting the Giants, man. Bradshaw's got another little injury. This might not be the foot. And the Giants, they got to get back to running that ball. And hopefully Andre Brown, if Bradshaw misses this week, hopefully, you know, after the bye, because the Giants will be on bye this week, same with the Seahawks, hopefully the Andre Brown and Bradshaw can come back healthy and the Giants can start to win again and start running the ball, you know.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I'm happy for the Saints. You know, I'm really happy for them.
Yeah, they weren't
you know,
an 0-14. They needed to bounce back from that. And I definitely wanted to shout out the Saints, Jimmy Graham. He's on my fantasy team. Two touchdowns, 146 yards. But here's the thing. But what you said was interesting. Atlanta, you know what? Good for them. They took an L. But you know what? New Orleans is a better team than their record shows. But Tony Gonzalez had 100. He got his 100th touchdown.
Yep.
First tight end in NFL history, any player at any position, 100 touchdowns. That's our boy from University of California, the basketball, football playing Tony Gonzalez. He really
he's a beast.
Is. And Matt Ryan did fine for himself, 411 yards, 34-52. And Roddy White was talking smack. He's like, "Yeah, we're gonna meet in 3 weeks." So he's
ready.
He got busy.
Roddy got busy. You know what hurt him when Jones went out for a while the first half and he was hurt. And I think that hurt them a little bit. But, you know, he came back, so good thing that he seems to be okay. But, listen, the Falcons, what I like about them, they're not like the old Falcons. And we'll see in the playoffs. But for me, the thing I would take away from this is that, hey, they, you know, even though it's a road dome game, the Falcons are showing up this year on the road. And I think that's the difference compared to seasons past. So kudos to them. Saints get the W. And, you know, they're starting to build up a little something. And we'll see what happens.
Well, we got a caller here. Let's see if we can pull in a caller.
All right.
Let's see if the caller wants to talk some football or basketball. Caller, you're on the air. Ray and Tay today. Caller, you there with us?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hank. Yeah, the Dolphin fan.
Yeah, I'm a Dolphins fan, but you know what?
Listen, you need to listen for later on when I chew into Tannehill's butt, who had to put in the starting lineup because I was afraid of what happened with Cutler. And he barely, Cutler only played a half, and Tannehill only got 2.68 points, and Cutler got 1 point something. Disgusting, man. He's my chump of the week. He's disgusting.
You know what? I can't make any excuses for him. I can't. We're not that talented that you can turn the ball over four times and expect to be in the game. You know, this is not – well, I guess no team is that talented to turn over the ball four times, but certainly not this team. I mean, this is not
only
like, you know,
can do it.
This is not like – well, you know, who could – you know, the only team I could think of who could get away with that were like the Rams back in the day with the greatest show on turf. Because if you put up 45, it doesn't matter if you turn the ball over. You know what I mean? But, it was a disgusting display. But this is what happens when you have a rookie. I mean, look, even Reggie Bush, you know, had two fumbles. You know what I mean? Like,
but he apologized on his Twitter account today. He said, "I'm sorry, I disappointed my Dolphin fans."
Yeah,
sorry, Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, just don't do it again. Basically, the apology doesn't really mean much to me. But anyway, that's not why I wanted to talk. You know,
break it down.
And I know I brought this up before in personal conversations, but I really have to try to understand this because every time I hear it, it makes no sense to me. Why does everybody think that the Cowboys need to play up to their talent? Like, are they really that talented? Like who says they're that talented?
Okay, well, let me say it like this since, you know, obviously Ray is a big Cowboy fan.
Yeah, let me recuse myself from this discussion.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, DeMarco
Murray's not playing, but when he does play, you saw week one against the Giants, a very talented running back in the NFL. You would agree on that one?
He's a good running back, but, I mean, look, he's not Adrian Peterson. Let's not try to make these
Cowboys nobody's saying that.
More than what they are. I mean, he's a good player.
Okay. Romo is, believe this or not, is going to go down as the leading stat man in almost every, if not every, Cowboy quarterback statistical category.
They haven't had that many, right? Roger Staubach statistically only played, 9 years? And so Romo is going to break all of his stats. But
But listen, Aikman. He's going to break Aikman's, Roger's stats, Danny White.
Right.
It's impressive. Romo's good. Miles Austin and Dez Bryant.
So wait. Romo's
good.
Okay, so good, right? There's a difference between good and everybody expecting the Cowboys to be like this great team.
No, you're right. Okay, but put it like this. They have talent. DeMarcus Ware. Obviously, they have a lot of injuries. Offensive line guys are hurt. Sean Lee being out is rough for them. But listen, in the back end, you got to like Carr. Well, Ratliff came back. You got to like Carr, and you got to like the Claiborne. I think that have some – and DeMarcus Ware, Hank, he's a problem on the field. He's an assassin as a defensive lineman.
You know
he's
what? He's a good – you know, I mean, I hate to bring up other teams because it's really not fair. But, yeah, I mean, he's a great pass rusher, right? But
look,
like,
he disrupts stuff more than Julius Peppers does nowadays. Keep it real.
Well, I feel bad for Julius Peppers because I feel like, you know, he gets double and triple teamed on every play. So, but I mean, you know, their defense overall, I mean, it's okay. It's not great. They've got two good corners and a pass rusher. That's right.
Okay. So,
my thing is, I look at the Dallas Cowboys talent wise and say they're a 500 team. The only thing that makes people think
they got 10 and 6. I'll say this, they have 10 and 6 talent. But so are you? Let me say.
Really?
Are you
why?
Saying that, would you get rid of the GM? Would you get rid of Jerry Jones, the GM? Has he done a bad job?
No, I have no
choice. But has he done a bad job as the GM for them?
Personally,
what don't they have? What are they missing for you?
Personally, I think that here's what I don't think they have. I don't think they have any consistency at any of the skill positions. Period. Full stop. And that.
Well, how much is that an injury though? Dez Bryant keeps getting injured. Miles Austin
Let's talk about this. Dez Bryant is only good because Jerry Jones and the press says so. He's done nothing in the NFL. He's done nothing. He's a good athlete.
He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season yet in 3 years. Give him a chance, though. He might do it this year.
Yeah, but that's
talent,
what I'm saying.
Though.
This is
he's
the third
college,
year, and everybody
talent.
Keeps on telling me, look, this is the third year, and everybody keeps on telling me that, you know, oh, don't worry, he's going to play up to the talent sometime. Maybe this guy's just not that good. I mean, you know, if you're going to make one athletic play a game and then have one drop a game, you frankly should not start. You know, I think that Jerry Jones is the greatest marketer in the world to make people believe that he's got more talent than he's really got. That's my point. Now, I do think, in all fairness to Cowboys fans, I do think that coaching is the issue because if you just eliminated mistakes, you could have two or three more wins a year, right?
Oh, they should have beat Baltimore, and they should have beat the Giants.
Yeah,
listen,
they
Garrett is a problem, and I think, obviously, for me, as talented as Romo is, I think Romo is not clutch. And
yeah,
so
that's
me,
what I'm saying. Like, Romo's not bad, but he's okay. Like, he's not, you know, why are we expecting the Cowboys to have these great teams and go to the Super Bowl every year, which is not what Tal says, but everybody picks them to be like this elite team. And I'm saying, like, they've never had the talent to be elite team. I mean, Dallas is, again, I've said this before, and Tyler's been mad at me when I said it, but I think their best player on offense is their tight end. So when you have that, that's not a, you know, that's not a team that scares me.
And he's not Jimmy Graham, so he's not dynamic.
That's fair.
No, he's a great player. He's a great
player.
No, Witten's
a beast.
My team.
Witten's a beast.
I take him on my team in a hot minute, but he cannot be your best offensive player. And he is.
The real question
everybody
is,
else has the potential to be good, and it's just not good.
The real question is, how much will my Pittsburgh Steelers win tonight over the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, look, in all honesty, you better hope that they're not looking past this game. Because there's no reason. Because there's no reason for this to be a game. I'm actually a little upset because I wanted to, like, you know, kick in front of my couch and actually watch a good Monday Night Football game, and it's not going to be.
You'll get a good game if you, when you watch it, pretend that you're Tay.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you pretend that you're me, you're gonna have a freaking ball. Get some popcorn.
You
crack
know
open,
what?
Get, you know,
that
just
is
get
true.
Your smooth. Don't get drunk. Just get like a smooth Corona. Or get a honey wheat beer, something like that, and you will have yourself a heck of a time. Okay.
Well, I'll have a heck of a time for the first half, and then the game's gonna be over. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I mean, your team, you should destroy this team. But if you don't, then you're going to get this because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. They're garbage. Anyway, I don't want to take too much of your time.
All right, man. Thanks
hope
for calling, man.
Hope you
all
guys
right,
are doing well.
Cool.
But please, really, the Dallas hype, you know what? Dallas is not that good. They beat a team that had what? They were missing what? Four offensive linemen?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're not going to – I mean,
Philly's
come on.
Philly's in worse shape than Dallas is. Philly's in worse shape.
No, the Eagles are the most banged-up
right.
team in the league.
You're right. Philly is in worse shape than Dallas is. But, you know, you can't – I mean, that's like you guys winning that game is like kicking a man when he's down. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Look, Tay's going to be jumping up and down about beating KC, but, like, really? I mean, come on.
No. I'm realistic. We should win this game. You're right.
You're
totally right.
And just like Dallas shouldn't beat Philly because Philly's terrible.
Wait, Hank, before we let you go, can I start Tannehill against the Buffalo Bills on Thursday night?
What's your other option?
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, you have to start him. And the thing is, luckily, Buffalo can't stop anybody, right?
Yeah, that's what
I mean, they can't
to.
Stop
Let's
anybody.
Let's go hardline
so,
at best.
Yeah, everybody, seriously, everybody puts up stats against Buffalo. Their
all
secondary
right,
is, you know, their secondary is probably, well, I won't say it's, nah, I was going to say that it's worse than the Patriots secondary, but it's probably not, but still, you guys will do fine with Tannehill. Anyway, have a good one, fellas.
All right,
man.
We thanks
appreciate
for calling.
It, Hank.
Later.
Take care.
Oh, man, a true Dolphins fan. You got to love Hank. So let's
and
keep
we
it
like
moving.
Dissenting opinions. We like dissenting opinions. If you disagree with us,
let us
know.
And I think he's partially right about the Cowboys, you know, but I think Jerry Jones has done a decent job as a GM. I just think that, I don't know.
Something
God,
is missing.
It's
like
of,
you can't put your finger
on it. Unclutch guys.
Exactly. Unclutch, bad decisions, penalties. Yeah. But let's move on. Let's finish up the NFL with the first tie since 2008. So we had St. Louis and San Francisco both tying, both scoring 24 and tying the game. Akers and Greg the Leg, Zuerlein.
GZ, both, young GZ, Legatron,
young GZ.
They both missed field goals in overtime. But listen, his was 50. His was like 58 yards right after the penalty. But,
after
oh,
penalty,
boy.
Yeah, it should have been 53.
Akers
but it was
51 50. Yards. He should have made it.
And he's, yeah, Akers is solid.
He should have made the field goal. But you know what kills me? Amendola and Golston for the Niners. Neither one of them knew the overtime rule. They both were like, oh, I didn't realize the game ends in a tie. Are you kidding me?
That's unbelievable to me. That's where sometimes, Tay and I talk about this sometimes, where sometimes you have guys that are God, that are blessed with God-given talent, and they are just able to skate through and be these athletes, but they don't love the game. They don't love the game. It's their profession. They like it. It's fine. They make a living, but they're not true sports fans, and they may not even be true lovers of their own sport.
It's baffling to me. You know it makes me crazy how cats don't know the rules and stuff like that. It makes me crazy.
First of all, that's unprofessional.
Listen,
you should know your profession. But even
hey,
you,
shout out
you
to Steven Jackson, right? He's the first running back this year, I believe, to get 100 yards. Got 101 yards on the Niners. He played his butt off. And even though they give carries to Richardson, Steven Jackson was like, chill. I'm still the man. Show me some respect. And where's Vernon Davis? Is he
I don't know. There's an APP out
here. Is he in a closet somewhere? Is he hiding? Is he at Maryland drinking at a kegger?
Do we need to know where you're at out there on him or an APP?
Where the heck? Oh, yeah. By the way, I don't want to call people out, but Chris Carter, ESPN, all their little segments, Ray and Tay was doing Where You At before Chris Carter and ESPN on their, you know, Monday night games and Sunday mornings with the Where You At, just so
you all
know.
We were doing Where You At years ago. We were doing it
before we got on
the air. We've
been doing Where You At for a long time. No, but I just want to let cats know we did not take that from Chris Carter and ESPN. They took that from us. Period, point blank, no comma. All right?
Exactly.
Where You At? We got that. And shout out to Tribe Called Quest. Where You At? But, yeah, no. It's a good game. It's a tie. It could, you know, be a factor in the playoff picture for that division or a wild card or seeding with the Niners. Sometimes it can be an advantage. But you know what? Before we even end this segment, I just want to shout out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 34-24 over the Chargers. North Turner looks like he's on the way out. Phillip Rivers made some of the worst. I don't understand. The guy from the first half to the second half, it's like he's two different dudes. It's baffling to me how.
Yeah, he's enigmatic.
It's
for
crazy.
Being an
and
established
he saw his interception.
Star. He's
like, what are you doing?
He really is.
But he makes
some bad,
ugly interceptions, though, Ray. It makes me crazy. I'm glad I'm not a Chargers fan, but having Phillip Rivers as my fantasy quarterback in a money league will make you lose your mind.
Let him go next year. Don't draft him. What can I tell you?
Yeah, listen, it'll be my last time drafting Jay Cutler and Phillip Rivers. My philosophy is to always get a top 3 to 5 quarterback, a gunslinger, and I didn't do it this year, so I'm kicking myself. But that's how it is on the fantasy front. So it was a great week, man. It was definitely a great week. Let's take a little break, and then let's get into our champs and chumps of the sports weekend. Real quick, Ray and Tay.
See you on the backside.
Hey, yo, it's E Complete. I'm back up in this TP. My second album, Truth Speaker. This track right here is crazy. I'm down.
And we're back to talk champs and chumps. That's our Monday segment where we go over the weekend's best and worst performances. So let's move it right along. Tay, what you got? You want to start negative or positive?
I don't know, man. I'm hyped up both ways. I'm just hyped right now. You know, I mean, I had certain guys. I'm ready to change it and call some other cats out. But, man, let me go positive. My champ, it's real simple. We'll keep the show moving. My champ is AP. I mean, to me, 11 carries, 120 yards, the 61-yard touchdown run. He's got the Vikings in a position to possibly make the playoffs. He's leading the NFL in rushing, you know, over 1,100 yards.
And he's six
AP,
months off
man.
Of a blown ACL.
It hasn't even been a year. What is it, like 7 months? Come on, man. That's crazy.
The season was 6 months. I should say he's 2 months after that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing.
It's mind-boggling to me. So to me, without question, I mean, he's averaging for the season 5.8 yards a carry. I mean, that's two touches, he's getting you a first down. That's yeoman's work. And, you know, I just think he's catching more passes this year. And listen, he's got Ponder. And what's incredible, in this game, there was no Percy Harvin. You know, I mean, and even Marshall Faulk was going crazy on this, man. He was like, yo, you don't know how hard it is to have 11 rushes for 120 yards. That's crazy. You know, so to me, man, AP is my champ, and kudos to the Vikings for a big win at home in their division, you know, over the Lions. And, you know, that's what you like to see. You like to see a running back who, in a passing league, right, can still sort of be dominant and help his team dominate and win. 34-24. Shout out to the Vikings, and AP's my champ. That's it.
All right, my champ, Johnny Football. Two words you might need to be remembering. The freshman quarterback,
woo,
Texas A&M, went into Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and we thought they had no chance. At least I did. I thought you put a bullseye on him, you stop Texas A&M, but he leads them into Tuscaloosa. They win 29-24, and Johnny Football goes 24 for 31, 253, and two touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, he carries the ball 18 times for 92 yards. You know how taxing that is?
On the
throw
humble.
And run against, you know, an unbelievable SEC defense. So kudos to them. Johnny Manziel and his A&M Aggies go in there and upset what I thought was by far the best team in the country, the Alabama.
And when they had to stop him, right, with the big drive at the end of the game, they couldn't stop him. You know, Alabama came roaring back, and he did what he had to do to fight them off to win the game, 29-24. That's incredible, man.
Yeah.
That's your man right
there. So what do you got for Chuck?
And you know what's so funny? They're looking for
Johnny
Football
for a while.
Johnny Football. Yeah. They're looking to, you know, trademark it. So, listen, without a doubt, it is so clear to me, 23 for 39, my chump belongs to Ryan Tannehill. And the Miami Dolphins.
Rookie, but you're on
207.
Right,
no, 217 yards, three interceptions. Listen, because look, they had a tough loss last week on the road in Indianapolis. They're coming home playing a team that just got smacked up by the Bears. Their defense wasn't looking good, and it really, it's a game that if you don't win it, at least at home, you put up a good showing. To lose 31-3 is ridiculous. I mean, to get smacked around like that and to play so bad. You're talking 39 passes. You can't get more than 217 yards. He was doing, I mean, he was just playing horrible. The whole team, but Ryan Tannehill in fantasy got me 2.368 points. I'd want to choke him out, Tannehill. And you better step up Thursday because I got to play you again because I don't know if I can trust Cutler this week
being
Big hurt.
Hank told
us and plus, Cutler's playing the Niners, right? So guess what? Even if Cutler is healthy off the concussion against the Niners, what good does that do me? What am I supposed to do now? Like Pete Diddy. What am I going to do now? Tannehill is my chump, man. I'm out with
chump.
That.
Yo, my chump is an organization. My chump is the New York Jets.
Preach.
You know, here's the thing. The Jets are 3-6, the worst start
Preach.
They've had since 2007. And with all the hype, you would think that they're going to win a Super Bowl. Now, I knew that they weren't. I wanted them to finish 8-8, but here's the thing. They're not even competitive. They walked into Seattle, who's a tough place to play. Now, I give you that. You fly cross country. Pete Carroll and his boys are now 6-4, right in the middle of the playoff mix. They have a rookie quarterback, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, that's my man.
Marshawn Lynch is doing yeoman's work, cracked 1,000 yards already.
No, Golden Tate. Threw for a
Golden
touchdown
Tate.
And caught one.
Wait, hold on.
My
you called Golden
pickup.
Tate out?
Yo, that's my fantasy pickup
game.
Of the season. Golden Tate, baby. That's my dog.
But here's the thing. The Jets. So real quick about the Jets. The Jets' defense is serviceable under Rex Ryan. I mean, maybe they're more hyped than they are actual on the field, you know, talented. Darrell Revis going down hurts them. So I'll give the defense a pass. But this offense. And starting with the GM, Mike Tannenbaum, and Rex Ryan, and Sparano, they were only able to muster 101 net passing yards and 84 net rushing yards. So that's 189 yards of offense. Now, I know they don't have talent, so that's on Tannenbaum, offensive talent. They don't have playmakers. And I know they're struggling a little bit at the quarterback position. Mark Sanchez is 9 for 22.
It's Tebow time,
so,
man.
I hated when they drafted him number 5 and traded up to the Browns to get him. He wasn't a first-round pick. He'd only started 16 games at USC. He wasn't even that good. But this is embarrassing. You're a professional football team, and you did have that one game where you first game of the season against Buffalo where you scored 41, and then another breakout game. But really, you guys are professionals. You know, you got to put up more than 200 yards of offense. So Jets offense, and then it filters to the whole organization. You just embarrassed all the Jets of old time, the sack exchange, Freeman McNeil, Bruce Harper, Wesley Walker, Johnny Lamb Jones, they're embarrassed right now. Get it together. So you're my chump.
Joe Namath is like, yo, they're worried about the press instead of winning.
A.G. Joe Namath, sure. Yeah, man. So the Jets are my chumps. The Jets are my chumps of the week.
All right, man. Well, listen, let's keep it moving. Before we do BCS, let's talk a little NBA. My Knicks are 4-0. My chest is out. I'm beating it. I'm proud. You know, shout out to Brooklyn Nets for winning last night. They did their thing at home. But to me, Carmelo is now numero uno.
My man, my Melo.
Numero uno, 27.3 is scoring the NBA. He's averaging over 7 rebounds a game. You got to like that, man. You got to like the Knicks. They're 4-0. You know, obviously it's not going to last forever. But I just like what's going on with the team. Everybody's contributing, whether it's Kidd, whether it's Brewer, whether it's Wallace off the bench. Cammy came back the other night. I mean, it's just exciting. They had a good win at home, beating the Mavericks. They've won every game by double figures. The defense is incredible.
D's and threes. I should trademark that. D's and threes. So, you know, D and three.
You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Formula,
man,
right?
So.
And the three-point guards.
Well, you know, listen, when you've got Felton and you've got Kidd and Priglione, we're gonna have team assists. We're gonna be doing things that are just, like, you know, really impressive. But what I like to see, Felton's in great shape. He's hitting threes. Jason Kidd is getting steals. Cats are all over. Now, listen, when Amari comes back, we'll see what happens. But right now, it's working. Melo at the four is working, and you know, it's exciting. But you know, just bouncing around the league, you know who I'm loving right now, and I've been talking about him, the young dude, Kyrie Irving. Fourth in the league in scoring. Kyrie is playing ball. 22.9 a game. I like this. I like this young Cleveland team. The young guys in the NBA is definitely exciting, and it's good to see what's happening and what's going on. Who's sparking your eye right now going around the league?
You know, I tell you what, this league is getting younger and younger. And I guess all sports are like that, right? So you can't really say that. You know, although I love veterans, you know we love the veterans. But
how many veterans are out there? Listen, shout out to Veterans Day, definitely all the servicemen and women protect our nation. We got to definitely give them a shout out, man. I got a military family, three of my uncles. You know, shout them out.
What do you think about the Clippers? I mean, it's a team that I always get a little bit hesitant to fall in love with because I feel like they're going to let me down. But
they're not healthy yet. You know, Odom's still just
exactly,
getting back.
Exactly, and they're 5-2.
Right. Grant Hill's got to get back. Billups. But let's watch them against the Heat Wednesday night, ESPN. We'll talk about that on Wednesday,
and
man.
I think
the
they know their
game.
Roles. I think they know their roles. Jamal Crawford comes up the bench and shoots. Blake Griffin feels like he doesn't have the weight of his world on him anymore because he's out of his, you know, his sort of that rookie honeymoon. Chris Paul
and DeAndre Jordan is
the
most improved.
And DeAndre Jordan might be the MIP. So that Clipper team really caught my eye.
Well, you know what? Last night the Grizzlies put the smackdown on the Heat, and I saw that. Zach Randolph with 14 a game is playing ball. Gasol didn't even score that much. But you know what I like to see? Rudy Gay, your boy Ellington, led the scoring with 25 points in the game. They smacked up the Heat 104-86. It's interesting, right? Throughout the NBA season, it's 82 games. You know, there's just, you know, random games here, there, everywhere. But there's certain matchups where you're just like, wow, you know, one night you don't know what it is, like why a team just gets on another team so bad. And, you know, but the one flaw that you might question about the Heat, right, which could be an issue when they played the Clippers on Wednesday, is what happened with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have size. Rudy Gay is a big three, so he can match up with LeBron. But Zach Randolph and Gasol, Darrell Arthur, some of their guys, They can play some ball, man. Jared Bayless is
problem.
Playing some good on-the-ball defense.
Rudy Gay, that athlete on the front line. That's what I'm saying. The Miami Heat have a glaring flaw. The problem is not many teams can take advantage of it, but they're definitely flawed. and they have a and everybody knows what it is, right? It's not like, oh, we need to scheme against it to pull it out, you know, transition, we need to speed up the game. You look at their roster and you look at the talent and you know that the Miami Heat are flawed. It's just you try to beat them, you know, you need to play the game a certain way to expose that flaw. So it might get exposed in the playoffs, but I think during the season they'll probably have the best record in the East. But like I said, I think Boston's going to give them a run for the money. I think Boston's going to make life difficult for the
Heat. Yeah, Boston's got to get it together. They've not started off the season looking so good. But I got to shout out your boy Kemba Walker, right? He's getting 2.8 steals a game. He's scoring, getting assists. Kemba Walker's playing some ball early on, man. I like to see that. You know, New York Cats. I definitely like to see it. Yo, shout out to my Terps. We lost to Kentucky in the Barclay Classic, you know, and UConn shocked Michigan State and won in the Armed Forces Classic on Friday, as we talked about those games. But Alex Len, he was taking it to Nerlens Noel. The Terps almost won that game, man. And this week we have Duke against Kentucky and Michigan State against Kansas. So there's going to be some good college basketball games, and it's definitely
– yeah. Wait, real quick, we got some more breaking news. So Bryce Harper won the NL Rookie of the Year. So as we thought, it was going to be Mike Trout and Harper winning the two awards. Trout was unanimous, but Harper had some competition there. But, yeah, those two young stud outfielders are the AL and NL Rookies of the Year.
Well, that's what I like to hear. So, listen, let's do, obviously, BCS. I mean, the big story, look, Alabama lost. Texas A&M moves on up to 8. The SEC is from 4 to 9. Florida State 10. And that's what's so crazy, right? And we know the first three, Kansas State, Oregon, and Notre Dame. Alabama's 4, and then it goes, you know, Georgia, LSU, yada, yada, yada.
Georgia, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, South Carolina. So, yeah, SEC has teams 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And
that's
then Florida
crazy.
State is number 10.
That's crazy.
That's insane. But let me ask a question to you this way. If you had – so assume that the – even though I still think an SEC team deserves to be in the national championship, I'm sorry.
It's not going
to
happen.
But let's say it doesn't. So of
I can watch Oregon.
Teams,
I can watch Oregon, Kansas State. I can see Klein.
That's my question. K-State, Oregon, Notre Dame.
But listen, is old boy,
the
is the quarterback, Mariota, is he going to play?
Mariota?
Or Mariota. He got hurt.
Yeah, I think they have enough talent to beat Cal. The question is, you know, down the road, they still have to play Stanford at home and Oregon State at home, and then they got to play in the Pac-12 championship. So the key is that Notre Dame only really has one good game left on the roster, you know, on the schedule.
Yeah,
they're
at home against Wake Forest, and then they go to USC.
They don't have a championship.
Listen, you know USC is going to be chomping at the bit. They really want
to
play spoiler.
K-State has to play in the Big 12 championship, and Oregon has to play in the Pac-12 championship.
So
Notre Dame has the easiest
schedule from here on out. Is
that
what you're saying? It could be K-State-Notre Dame?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, Notre Dame, like you said, they play Wake and USC. So Wake, USC, and they don't have to play another team. So they have the easiest schedule by far. So if they go undefeated, and one of those between Oregon and
Listen, people might not like it. People might not like it, but I think that's what's going to probably play out. K-State, Notre Dame in the championship, unless Oregon can hold on. Well, listen, it's Bama's fault, right? Listen, at home, you're going to lose to a freshman quarterback? That's on Bama.
I mean, they were the 15th-ranked team in the nation. They're 8-2.
I'm not saying that, though.
You know, a 1AA team.
But what I'm saying is, they woke up too late.
I can't even call them FCS.
You can't go down 20-0 at home. They woke up too late.
It's true.
The Karens and the boys woke up too late.
Yep.
And they came fighting back, but it was too little, too late. So we'll see. But, man, the Steelers should do it for us tonight. We're wrapping up the show. Thanks for listening to Ray and Tay. It was definitely a good show.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Glad I'm not a Laker fan.
Send us your opinions. Remember, all. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm glad I'm not a Laker fan with all that mess.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I wish the best for D'Antoni and the Lakers, but it's a little sloppy, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. And remember, if you have some opinions, dissenting opinions, other opinions, you want us to answer your questions, we have some segments we do, Where You At Wednesday, we do Champs and Chumps. Send us an email.
Top 5 Fridays.
Yeah, top five Fridays.
Check
so
us out
Ray
the podcast at iTunes. Right, you go to iTunes in the search, put in Ray and Tay Today, spell out the AND, and find us, man. Listen to our old shows. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for talking sports with friends, Ray and Tay.
We're out.
See you Wednesday. Go Steelers. Twenty-3-10. Let's go, Manuel Sanders. Do it for Tay. Heath Miller.
When I wake up, I look into the mirror. I can see a clearer vision. I should start living today. Cause today is gonna be the day. It's gonna be a day. Cause today is gonna be the day. It's gonna be the day.
Yeah. It's like every day I wake up, I stare at the space and don't say much. Peer in the mirror, feeling dead from the face up. Coffee pot, cigarettes, morning Jay's Bailey. Flowing down my day before it picks up the pace. Beats playing since the night before. Thinking about writing songs, feeling exhausted. Sometimes we tour constant. And plus the toxics I sip got me tossed. Still tipsy, staring at the city from the spot we call Los Angeles. Every day is like a blank canvas. Carving my initials in the planet like I branded. Handpicked to live this life we take for granted like